Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Muncie is on the minds of the publishing world this month. The 40th Midwest Writers Workshop begins next Thursday. Writers, published and otherwise, editors, agents, all descending on Ball State University's Alumni Center. The workshop's mission is to help writers become published authors.
My name is Jayma Kehoe Bigger, and I'm director of Midwest Writers Workshop. We're getting ready to have our 40th workshop at the end of the month, July 25th through the 27th, and we're already sold out.
40 years this has been going on. I'll bet that there are people who don't realize that this happens in Muncie.
There are people in the community that aren't even aware of it. Even when we have articles in the paper, when we have radio spots or any other kinds of promotions, people will come in and they're shocked to find that it's in Muncie. It's been a part of Ball State for 40 years. It was a combined effort when it was started with community people and university people to create a workshop environment for writers at all levels across all genres. When the workshop first started, way back in 73, it was a week long, and people could sign up for just 1 hour sessions. They didn't have to come to the whole thing. So over the course of all these years, we've reinvented ourselves numerous times.
There are cases where people have been helped by this.
Probably one of the first who had great success in fiction was Carl Largent. He then became a member of our committee, and he passed away a few years ago. Our writing award is named in his honor.
How was it that he had his breakthrough?
Well, he came in the 80s, and he wanted to write novels. He was a very successful businessman in Columbus at a Fortune 500 company, made a great deal of money, and decided he wanted to give it all up and be a writer. And it was a big risk. He didn't have agents. He just sent his manuscript off. And he ended up probably writing, I don't know, maybe close to 20 novels, suspense, thrillers, along the lines of Tom Clancy novels, great books. I still have a whole stack of them on my shelf.
What did he get out of the workshop?
Well, when he came to the first few workshops, he learned how to plot, how to develop his characters, a sense of pacing, and he just was so grateful for what he learned at our workshop when he did get a contract, when he did decide to give up his business career and go into writing full time. He wanted to give back, and he became part of our committee, drove up and down the highways from Columbus to come to our meetings.
Columbus, Indiana?
Columbus, Indiana, from Muncie. So, he did that every month and was just a very important part of our committee. So he's one of our big success stories.
So you have some of the business things, marketing things that are helpful for writers to know, but there's also a lot of help for them in terms of the craft, right? What do they, when they come, what kind of help do they get?
Well, because we have writers at all levels, I mean, seriously, some don't have any idea what they want to write, and some come with a full manuscript. So we really have had to concentrate on creating sessions that meet the needs of lots of different writers. And so when I work on with my committee on developing the faculty for each year, we try to think about those authors who also can teach some of what they know, either dialogue or character development, even in nonfiction, beginnings and endings, some of the nuts and bolts of how to be a better writer. So we have now, the last few years, probably between 30 and 40 sessions crammed into 3 days. They get to choose. They can't go to every one, and it's really tough to decide which ones they want to come to. But because we have agents, we also have a specialist who knows all about taxes for writers. And so he comes. And now, with social media being so important, we have faculty who emphasize the importance of an author or writer platform and the importance of blogging or making an author site.
The importance of a writer platform.
A writer's platform. And
what's that mean?
Well, it's one of those new...
By the way, as we talk, I'm looking over your shoulder here, and you have Hootsuite or TweetDeck. You're a Twitter aficionado.
I've had to learn a lot to keep up with all these young folks that know all about the social media and the importance of it. And I think to a great extent, the reason that we may be sold out this year is because so many of our participants and our faculty and also our committee people now are spending time on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. They're blogging about what they're learning from Midwest Writers, and they're all excited about it. And so someone says, well, I don't know anything about it. Now we have people coming from 19 states this year, whereas it used to be pretty localized to the surrounding states. Now they're flying in from California and New York and Florida and Arizona, Oregon. They're really coming from all over because of what we offer.
Paperback writer. Dear sir or madam, will you read my book?
That's Jama Bigger of Muncie, director of the Midwest Writers Workshop. They're getting ready for their 40th workshop for 3 days, starting next Thursday. They're on Twitter at Midwest Writers, and you can find more information at midwestwriters.org.
It's a dirty story of a dirty man, and his clinging wife doesn't understand. The sun is working.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook, or drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Paperback writer.
Now here's John Strauss.
The Midwest Writers Workshop is next week in Muncie. This is the 40th year for the conference, which helps writers become published authors by helping them not only with the craft of writing, but with understanding the business of it. This year, some Ball State University students, led by English professor Kathy Day, are helping writers understand the power of social media to promote their work. Some people are discouraged by what they see as the damaging effect that things like Twitter have on our willingness to write. We visited with Kathy Day on the front porch of her home near downtown Muncie. She has a different view.
I actually think that in some ways social media is helping people tell stories more effectively and helping them find their natural voice. Actually, often, I actually am friends on Twitter and Facebook with many of my students. And one thing that I have discovered is that when they sit down to write a story, they write in this like fake, icky voice that's like very stilted. And I'm like, do you see like the voice that you use when you like do a status update or you're on Twitter? I like that voice. In fact, I can tell that they're really potentially a good writer by how often I find myself wanting to know what's going on with so-and-so today, or I liked how so-and-so told that little story. Sometimes I have to say to them, look at how the voice that you use when you use social media, that's your writing voice. You think that you're goofing off, but actually that's your voice. That's really you. That's what you have to give. And sometimes that really helps them pretend, like when they write, like, I'm writing a status update now. I'm not writing my novel. I'm writing a status update. They say that it helps them.
And in fact, you've hired some college students to teach some of the people at the workshop how to use social media.
Right. We've been talking about why you should use social media at Midwest Writers for years. We've never been able to actually sit down with people and say, this is how you do it. Like, here is how you start a blog. Here is how you set up a Facebook page. Here is how you set up a Twitter account. Here is how you sync all these things together. My students are, they don't even understand that this is a marketable skill, that they know how to do all this stuff. But people my age and older are very like bewildered. And what they need sometimes is just for somebody to sit down with them and say, this is how you do that. So that's what I've created at Midwest Writers for this summer.
gee, maybe the students could trade skills. They could teach social media and learn narrative construction.
Yeah. I mean, they get to benefit from the conference itself by going to a couple of the panels and things like that, too. And actually, they're also working as assistants to the agents, the literary agents who are coming. And I'm really hoping that this might help them. Some of them are actually interested in becoming agents themselves, so they'll get a chance to see how that works. And they can also maybe set up remote internships where they basically could get to read the slush pile of literary agents from afar. You don't actually have to go to New York to do that kind of work, so maybe they could do it from here.
Are there fewer outlets now, or the same, or more for aspiring fiction writers?
No, there's an explosion of outlets for short. Are you talking about like short stories and shorter pieces? The online literary world is really, it's just exploding, and it's almost, there's so much that it's hard to even understand, like, where to start, where to send your work. That's actually one of the reasons why we wanted to bring in Roxane Gay, is that that is like her world, the online publishing world, and we want her to be able to talk about different places that people could send their work. Maybe not so much for, I mean, there are online genre magazines, but there's also tons of places for, I mean, the internet is made for short things. Do you know what I mean? So poems and what's called flash fiction, which are like stories that are 750 words and less, are basically, business is booming, I guess you could say, for that form online. There's not a lot of money in it, but you can get your work out there and get it read very easily. The hard part for people like me is I write 15 to 20 page stories. You know, nobody wants to read a 15 or 20 page story on the internet. So I mostly publish my stories in print magazines.
How about tablets? Are you encouraged by the explosion in tablets and whatever opportunities they offer?
My mother, I gave her my old Kindle when I got a new one, and she lives in a small town in Indiana that is like seriously 60, 70 miles from the nearest bookstore. She really has no way to access books. And since I gave her that Kindle, she reads like a crazy woman. I mean, she reads all the time, and it's because it's so simple for her. She doesn't have to like get in the car and drive to a Barnes & Noble in Cincinnati to buy a book. She can just download it, and she reads like crazy. I think that this has had nothing but a good effect, actually, for publishing. The fact that people, it's easier than ever to find and pay for a book.
Any relation to how a piece of writing sounds when it is read aloud to its quality? I mean, is that something that you do when you're writing?
I always read my work aloud in order to hear it. Or actually, what I really like to do is record myself reading it and then listen to it so that I'm really just focused on not reading it, but just listening to it. I started doing something in my classes where I read all their work out loud. They don't take it home and read it on their own and then come back in to talk about it. I read it live anonymously in the class and we talk about it so that I want them to hear what their sentences sound like. So I've started doing that with some good effect. And there is a relationship between the way something sounds when you hear it and the way it, in a sense, sounds on the page in your brain when you're reading something. Yes, there is a relationship.
How do you collect material? Do you find that inspiration or ideas come to you at odd times? Is that
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
I don't use a fancy Moleskine or anything like that. I just use this plain old college-ruled notebook. And I also use, actually one thing I use a lot because I'm doing a lot of historical research for the book I'm working on, is something called Evernote, which basically allows you to...
It's an app, right? You can kind of save notes and things?
Things that you read on the internet. Like, I used to have hundreds of bookmarks, you know what I mean? And what Evernote does is it allows you, you see something and you're like, oh, I'm going to need that later. And it allows you to archive and organize the different things that you read online and not feel like the way that we used to read things in magazines and rip them out and feel like we had to save them. I mean, Evernote allows you to do that. So I find that I use a lot of things like that.
Do you ever think about the nature of creativity? Do you ever think about where ideas come from?
I'm probably different than some writers, fiction writers, in that I'm not really good at making things up out of whole cloth. I actually use real life and nonfiction and history as like a springboard for what I want to write about.
You have a blog entry about your research.
Yeah. I actually just wrote about this the other day on my blog and how I had been doing some research. I knew that my character that I'm writing about, who is a real person, I knew that she was in Chicago at a certain time. And I said, well, I need to give her something to do. It's 1902. Is the Art Institute of Chicago open? yes, it is. And so I was actually able to find out what was on exhibit at the Art Institute during the time that she would have gone in there. And I ended up getting like a really good plot point and turning point for her out of doing that kind of research.
Right, point, right. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right.
Kathy Day, a Ball State professor of English, helping organize next week's Midwest Writers Workshop. She is the author of The Circus in Winter and Comeback Season, How I Learned to Play the Game of Love. She also writes an excellent blog, and you can find that at kathyday.com.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
The Midwest Writers Workshop, an annual chance for Muncie to shine in the world of publishing. It begins next Thursday for 3 days. The woman at the center of the workshop for many years is Jama Bigger, who's the director. We talked with her the other day, and it was interesting to hear how important social media is for the writers.
We have 2 Thursday sessions on creating an ebook and on blogging. And so the Thursday session is unique. We've offered it for a number of years in what we call intensive sessions. We have 6 or 7 where small class sizes, 20 to maybe 25, and they're in that session all day long. So they are learning on how to write a suspense novel. They're learning how to write a romance novel. They're learning about writing nonfiction or writing a memoir. The sessions vary each year. Mystery is pretty important, so we always have 1 or 2 sessions in mystery or suspense or thriller. But it varies. Some years we have children's book, children's writing. Some years we have YA, young adult. Some years we have poetry. We had sports writing 1 year. We've had travel writing. So there's a lot that we offer. And so those one-day sessions. And so people can register just for a one-day session.
What's been the influence of ebooks? How's that changed everything? Maybe it hasn't changed everything.
No,
I don't, but
I think it has. Anybody can put a book up on the internet now. Anybody can create an ebook. So there's a lot of bad books out there.
Everybody needs an editor.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. And one of the reasons that Midwest Writers, I think, has been successful is that we do offer such a variety. We give people options. It's not just, well, you have to go to the traditional publishing route and you have to have an agent, but we give them options on, well, here's some information about publishing an ebook. Here's information about self-publishing. Here's information on
finding an agent. Do you help
yes,
them?
Yes, exactly. And small presses. So we don't tell you that this is the right way to do it. There's only one way, because it's really not true. And the way that the industry is right now, there's lots of different options. But because you do, we hope that if you do publish an ebook or you self-publish, that you still are very focused on being the best writer that you can. And self-editing is important.
How has the audience changed? I mean, we're a society of the short attention span, the 140-character statement on Twitter. Does this make it harder for authors to attract and retain an audience, to interest an audience?
Well, now, because people carry around Kindles a lot, it's easy to read a book.
That's helped.
So you don't have to have a book in your backpack, and you can read it on the computer. You can read it on your tablet. So in that case, I think that there are people that are reading more. There's more options. There's so many blogs that people read. People make money blogging. And whereas you might not make a lot of money in, say, newspaper work, journalistic work, there are still a lot of options for writers of nonfiction. And our participants vary. It's pretty interesting, the demographics of who comes to these workshops. We have 16-year-olds, and then we have 80-year-olds. They all mix together. They all support each other. We've created a Midwest Writers Workshop community, I would say, because once they go home, now with everybody exchanging emails and, you know, I will be a guest blogger on your site and I'll subscribe to your blog if you subscribe to mine, that sort of give and take, it creates sort of a family environment. And we have people that come year after year to the workshop. And yet I'm always surprised at how many new people come. So this year we have coming 225 people, and probably 120 of them or more are new. They've never come. It was the same last year. We had 169, and probably 112 or 15 were new. They'd never been here before. So the only place we advertise in print is in Writer's Digest. But because of word of mouth and people saying, going back to their writers' groups or readers' groups and saying, you know, I had a pretty good time there. You learn a lot. You might want to think about going.
Well, on the one hand, writing is a solo occupation, but on the other hand, you really need a community of some kind. Isn't it helpful to have a group that you can exchange pieces to read and that sort of thing?
It is. And sometimes you'll find that in your own community where, and we really encourage people, if they don't have a writer's group in their community, to start one. There's a group of writers that come almost every year, and some of them are in Michigan and some of them are in Indiana, and they become really good friends. They exchange chapters to each other. They support each other. And that's what has been very important and rewarding for myself as director, to see the successes. Just this year, several of them have said, well, I got an agent. I've got a book contract. One gal that's coming, she emailed me just this week and said, I signed with an agent. And another one said, I've got another book contract. So, and yet they still want to come. They want to support the workshop. And it's almost they take their vacation time to come with and hang out with us.
Jama Bigger of Muncie, director of the Midwest Writers Workshop. They're getting ready for their 40th workshop for 3 days starting next Thursday. You know, I had to ask, could the next J.K. Rowling be discovered at this workshop? You know, the next superstar of publishing? Bigger said, yes, that could happen. But, you know, I kind of regretted asking the question right away. You know, I think the point is not what megastars are discovered at things like this, but what the writers themselves discover. The power of persistence, of pushing through to get a book completed. Most of us can't do that, and some of us who can would be better off if we didn't, really. But I have to admire the people with something to share who stick with it till the end. Speaking of the end, that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. And if you like, consider sending us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story. You just use a smartphone or a digital recorder, speak your piece, and email the file to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. If you need some help with that, just let me know. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.